I listen to a lot of music. I'm a big music fan, and I tend to sort of visualize sequences when I listen to music. I get very inspired by listening to music. And this particular idea, part of it came to me when I was 21 and I was listening to the first track that opens the movie, the John Spencer Blues Explosion, Bell Bottoms. I put associative images with music and I imagined this car chase. It's funny, like when I've said that story to people, they've said, so why did it take 22 years to make the movie? And I say, well, let's back up. 22 years ago, I was living in Wood Green, and I wasn't really in the position to say, hey, Hollywood, would you like to make a heist film? So it was just something that I couldn't stop thinking about, this car chase linked with this track. And then I guess over the years, that developed into the sort of the story, and then other sort of songs came into it. So it was something where, unusually, like the music started to lead the script.
Well, it does start with one of the best car chases I think I've ever seen in a film. How difficult was it to direct?
So here's the thing. I'm looking at some of the country's finest thugs and, of course, young Mozart in a go-kart over there.
The first part of it would be me mapping out in the song what's going to happen in the car chase.
People love great bank robbery stories, so let's give them something bold and brazen as to talk about over their latte.
Then I would do storyboards based on that. Then we would cut the storyboards to the music. So we got an idea of, like, the shape of it. Then you start to bring in the real people. It's like you bring in the sort of the stunt team, the choreographer, and then also we have to start thinking about clearing, like, 20 city blocks.
Where did you shoot it?
Downtown Atlanta. That freeway in the opening sequence is the main thoroughfare in Atlanta.
So you're basically sort of closing down an entire city, nearly.
Well, you do it on a Sunday morning, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. on a Sunday morning. And I guess the clever thing about it is you never fully close down the freeway. You have what's called the bubble, which is basically like an enormous police motorcade where the police are like sort of two ends of this bubble. They slow down the real freeway traffic. And then in the middle of it is your stunt cars and your camera cars and your actors. So all the actors like John Hamm, John Bernthal, Ansel Elgort and Aza Gonzalez in that first chase are also on the freeway as well. They can react to actually being on the freeway going at like 80 miles an hour.
How many cars did you smash up?
I think there were 150 cars used in the production. But usually the ones that would get smashed up, you'd have this magical auto shop, which I was never party to. It was like having amazing kind of auto elves working at night. A Dodge Charger would get smashed up. And then they tow it off, and then the next morning it would be back, like been repaired. But I think you can only do that a number of times. I think kind of like cars are like cats. They kind of have 9 lives, and then they're fully dead.
They call me Baby Driver.
Now, most film directors decide what music they use once they've shot and they're editing the film, but music is so integral to Baby Driver that presumably you wrote the songs into the script.
Yes. In this particular case, I wasn't really any way of getting across the movie without giving it to the studio or the actors without the songs attached. So for a good year before we started making the movie, we were sort of quietly clearing the songs so that we could go onto set and know that we had this song and that we could shoot a scene to this song, because sometimes people are just moving to it. Sometimes only Ansel is moving to it. Sometimes they refer to the song as it's playing. Occasionally they sing along with it. Occasionally they lip sync parts of it. So it's every different permutation of interaction with the music within the movie. And so you don't want to start filming something if you don't have that track cleared.
I understand that you sent the actors an iPod along with their scripts featuring emojis.
Sort of. It was an iPad with like this special PDF of the script. The logo of the movie was like a little button in the corner. So you had the script and then you pressed a button and then the song would start. It was pretty amazing. This software designer made it for us.
There he is.
Hey, baby.
Why is he listening to music all the time?
He had an accident when he was a kid. He's still got a hum in the drum. Plays music to drown it out.
That's what makes him the best.
Let's talk about the main character, Baby Driver, this getaway driver. He's only 21, played by Ansel Elgort. he listens to music constantly, not just to help him get into the rhythm of driving, but because he suffers from tinnitus, this constant buzz in his ear. Is it true that you suffer from the same problem?
I did when I was younger. I don't have it any longer, but when I was about 7 or 8, I had like sort of attacks of it and had to have my ears syringed. It was very painful. When I was writing the script, I read that Oliver Sacks book, Musicophilia, which is about music's effect on the brain. There was stuff in there about tinnitus, and then I thought, oh, yes, I used to have that. It was like sort of a painful memory that I'd buried. So that kind of really seemed to sort of make sense for the character.
For Baby Driver, music's a sort of security blanket almost, isn't it?
A lot of us use music in that way of it being like an escape, and Baby does that too, but he also uses music to escape. Using music as a sort of like as a salve has then become like a full-on obsession to the point where he really should be getting away, but he can't move until he has the right sound, has the right rhythm, you know. So that's where me and the character are the same, is there sort of elements of that where I sort of get, I don't know if you've ever done this, it's like you're about to get out of your car, but you wait until the song is finished before you get out of your car. It's sort of like taking that to its nth degree.
Except that he does it outside a bank and the police are about to arrive.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Wait, I gotta start the song over. Okay, go. Baby.
You're known for making very British comedies like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. Baby Driver feels like a very American film.
It was after Hot Fuzz, actually. I basically drove across the States for 10 days, which was amazing. Every day I saw a diner exactly like the one in the movie. I was always very impressed by British directors who had done Hollywood action films. You know, like Bullet is by a British director, Peter Yates. Tony Scott did True Romance. John Borman did Point Blank. So I wanted to do like an American crime film.
Now, in many ways, it's a classic heist film. It's about bank robbers and full of fantastic car chases. But there's also a lot of dark comedy moments. And it reminded me in some ways of Quentin Tarantino's, you know, Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs. I know that you worked with him. Is he an influence on you?
Yeah, he was also a help to this movie. He called Jamie at one point and said, you should do Edgar's film. So, he'd always
been... Fox has been a lot of Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was Django for him, which is, and he was amazing. Yeah.
Ready? Ready? Start in the AM. Questions.
I got a question, Doc. Why would I believe phones over here heard a goddamn word you said? You lay down your whole play. He ain't even listening.
Baby?
The target is an armored truck at Perimeter Trust in Dunwoody, 10 a.m. sharp. We have the details of the route because someone at the depot has a nasal problem. The bank itself is right near the Buford Highway, so we
I saw Reservoir Dogs when it was released. I must have been like 19, and I was at art college, and I saw that for the first time, and it, you know, just blew my mind. I think he's amazing, and I think also the other person that this is in sort of tribute to, who both me and Quentin are fans of, is Walter Hill. The writer-director, and specifically like his movie The Driver from 1978 was a sort of big influence on this movie. It's sort of like another sort of jumping-off point. I think also the thing is, through like people like Walter and Quentin, I think I actually sort of like started reading more literature of that ilk. Jim Thompson and Richard Stark and Donald Westlake and Elmore Leonard. And one of the things that I did when I was writing, I interviewed real ex-cons, ex-bank robbers and ex-getaway drivers, people who'd like served their time. I just felt like as a sort of English middle-class kid, I needed to authenticate my heist movie. And so it was an amazing thing to interview these real-life ex-robbers, ask them about anecdotes, ask them about their process, and then eventually run through scenes that I had in the movie and characters. And one of the guys, this guy called Joe Lawyer, who's an ex-bank robber turned writer, he actually appears in the movie as one of the security guards on the receiving end of a heist.
Now, your so-called Cornetto trilogy of Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz and World's End remain wildly popular. Could there be a fourth?
I'd like to work with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost again. I don't know if we would do more in that series. I think if we did something else, it would be something new, but... maybe.
And your name has been linked with the next Star Wars film?
I think this has been wildly misreported. Basically, sort of people misconstrued something I'd said that I was working on one of the movies, which is not the case. So, no.